weird. I guess I'll let the boys just take it from here.
Actually, multiple Republicans have come up. There's three different Mamdani bills out there. One in particular is very bizarre. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. Also, did Donald Trump reach for the nuclear codes and have his hands slapped away by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dan Kane? If true, this is wild. I'll tell you about that. And also, did this administration's cruelty, does it have any bottom at all? Apparently not. We'll get into that. In this first hour. In the second hour of the program, are Trump's scandals drowning out democracy? Also, are Israeli soldiers now using rape as a weapon against Palestinians in the West Bank? This is a distressing story. And will Silicon Valley turn your nurse into a gig worker? Well, it looks like it's already happening. You betcha. In the third hour of our program, our one guest for the day, Rachel Bitticover, is going to drop by about Trump versus the Pope and a few other topics she's been writing about. And how John Roberts went to work for the oil oligarchs. This is a wild story that has to do with the New York Times reporting on the origin of the shadow docket. We'll get in. It sounds a little wonky, but it affects all of our lives, so we'll get into that, too. My op-ed today, my daily take at HartmanReport.com, my rant, is titled Republican Drafts a Bill That Would Make Joseph McCarthy Blush. This is about a piece of legislation called the Mamdani Act, named after Zohran Mamdani, the mayor of New York City. It's being put forward by Congressman Chip Roy. Breitbart just did a big story about it. Chip Roy on his website has a link to the Breitbart story. He's quite proud of this. And what this piece of legislation says is, and this is a quote from Chip Roy's website, that anyone who is in support of or affiliated with what Roy calls totalitarian movements, who is not a U.S. citizen or is a U.S. citizen through naturalization, in other words, they went through the whole raise your hand to become a citizen thing, or they've got a green card or they're here on a visa, any of those people can be arrested, imprisoned, deported, and have their naturalization stripped from them if they are affiliated with movements that include, and now this is a verbatim quote from Chip Roy's website, a socialist party, which is why it's named after Zohran Mamdani. He ran on the Democratic Socialist Party in New York. A communist party, the Chinese Communist Party, Islamic Fundamentalist Party, or advocates for socialism, communism, Marxism, or Islamic fundamentalism. The bill targets people who, quote, write, distribute, circulate, print, display, possess, or publish material supporting socialism or any of those other ideas. Possess? I mean, if you own a copy of Karl Marx's Das Kapital, they're going to drag you off and throw you in a detention camp now? Or a pamphlet from a Palestinian solidarity group, or a battered paperback of Howard Zinn, or one of my books on the economy, like my book Screwed, or my book The Hidden History of the American Dream, which openly advocate for the New Deal, which, according to Chip Roy, is socialism. Any of those things would make a green card holder or a naturalized citizen or somebody here on a visa of any kind, quote, inadmissible and deportable. Affiliated with, the language says affiliated with. So that would make anybody who's ever, what, shown up at the Democratic Socialist Party of New York meeting ready to be tossed out of the country? I go to a meeting, go to a rally, get yourself on a mailing list, you're toast. Write anything advocating socialism? Well, that means they're coming for me. And for you, if you've ever echoed in writing, you know, like on Facebook, on Twitter, you know, the kind of things that the Republicans call socialism. That includes food stamps, school lunches, free college, public libraries, national health care system, police and fire, and highways that don't have tolls. You know, when billionaire David Koch ran for vice president in 1980 on an anti-socialism agenda, he called for the end of all of those things, including public schools. Distribute. Apparently, they'll be coming for Substack too, along with your local bookstore or library. You know, last time we saw anything crazy like this was when John Adams pushed through Congress in the fall of 1798 the Alien and Sedition Acts, a series of laws that made it a crime to defame the President of the United States, among other things. And Ben Franklin, you know, President John Adams, who had just gone totally bonkers. There are some historians who argue his wife driving it, Abigail Adams. Others say no. John himself was nuts. Hard to say. I mean, you read his later correspondences with Thomas Jefferson, and they seem quite different. But so did Abigail's correspondences. But anyhow, Ben Franklin's grandson published a newspaper in Massachusetts called the Aurora. And he published an op-ed calling John Adams, quote, old, querulous, bald, blinding, blind, crippled, toothless Adams. Adams had him arrested, had him thrown in prison, and shut down his newspaper. Town drunk in New Jersey, Luther Baldwin was arrested for criticizing Adams while drinking in a bar. And that lost him, by the way, the election of 1800. That's why Thomas Jefferson became president. Dan Sisson, and I edited it, wrote a book about this, the election of 1800. So here we are again, another dangerous overreach by the GOP. And again, this is not new, but it is chilling. And it appears to be modeled after the Reich citizenship laws of 1935, which said that if you were Jewish, or if you were a communist, or if you had ever advocated socialism, you no longer had the rights of a German citizen. And that's what Chip Roy wants to bring to America, the Reich citizenship laws, or, you know, the modern version, Putin's Russia, Orban's Hungary. Mayor Mamdani came to the United States in 2018 after coming here from Uganda as a child. He's never been accused of any crime. And the Supreme Court, back in 1943 in the Schneiderman ruling, said that the government basically can't use stripping citizenship as a political weapon. But Chip Roy and his Republican buddies don't seem to care about that. He told Breitbart that his proposed law would target the, quote, red-green alliance, socialists and Palestinians, right, or Islamists. And he's echoing Clarence Thomas's recent speech that that immigration policies, quote, have reached dangerous levels of opposition to classical American political doctrines like free market capitalism. I mean, it's just astonishing. I talk about this in the American in the Hidden History of American Oligarchy. This is the kind of legislation that the robber barons of the 1920s and the John Birchers and the McCarthy movement of the 1950s dreamed of, but never got through Congress. We ran a smaller, more local version of this with the Palmer Raids in 1919. We rounded up 10,000 immigrants and deported 556 of them because they were supporting labor unions in large part, which were then called communists. The Communism Control Act of 1954, which was Joe McCarthy's project, was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court in 73. You know, whatever happened to the First Amendment? You're not allowed to hold an opinion, you're not allowed to write a book, you're not allowed to possess a book? I mean, this is where the Republicans are going now. And it should tell you everything about the Republican Party. It is no longer a legitimate American political party. It is a fascist party. And Chip Roy is right up there at the front of the fascist, and he's bragging about it. On his website, I've got a link to it. On his website, he's like, here's my article, here's the article about my law in Breitbart. Yes, let's throw these people out of the country. Holy crap. Time to call your member of Congress and say, please don't do that.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, the Constitution doesn't defend itself, and neither does freedom. We have to get active. Tag yours. And welcome back. Samuel in Santa Ana, California. Hey, Samuel, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I've heard a number of people on this show, MSNBC and CNN and other places, say that Vance is trying to position himself so he can become president.
Of course.
And and that speculation always happens.
Well, it's not just speculation. There's never been a vice president in history who didn't dream of it.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, we could all fantasize, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what I'm going to point out, there are a number of reasons why he can't, but I've come up with one very specific reason what I want to address here, and that is, in order to become a president, you have to be, from being a vice president, you have to have served under a president that was very popular. And what I found out as I looked at it was, okay, you remember Ronald Reagan was known as the great communicator. He was always high in the polls. Whatever you thought of him as a person, he was always a great communicator. Bush got elected under Ronald Reagan. You had Martin Van Buren, who was elected under Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was known as the president of the common man. And so the point that I'm making is that in order to be elected as a president, you have to come from someone whose coattails you can ride on. And with this war in Iran going down in the manner that it is impossible that Trump's numbers aren't going to plummet even more than they have. The Iranians haven't even played all their aces yet. One ace I've been waiting on them to play is to blow up one of those mines in the water, which would they don't even have to blow up a ship, just to blow it up and put the pictures on social media. That'll make the guys at Lloyd's of London just go nuts. The food shortages haven't even started yet here, and he's in the 30s. When they come up, when we actually start seeing the real long-term consequences of this, I could see this guy at 25%. There is no way that J.D. Vance is going to be elected at 25%. He's smoking, I don't know what he's smoking, but whatever it is, it won't be smoked at the ballot box.
I agree with you. The one exception, by the way, to the rule that I cited earlier was Dick Cheney. But, I agree with you. And Vance is so lacking in charisma. I mean, the only way he got elected to the Senate, beating Sherrod Brown, was because Peter Thiel poured millions of dollars into the campaign. The only reason he became vice president was because Peter Thiel, you know, gave money to Trump and twisted his arm. So, you know, he's the Frankenstein's monster created by a hardcore right-wing German-born, South African-educated billionaire. And, you know, I'm a little concerned about that. Samuel, thank you. Well said. Farmer, you're listening to WCPT. Let me put you back on hold. I'm sorry. Gabe in Placerville, California. Hey, Gabe, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. How are you doing? Hey, I was calling in to talk about the speech by Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And his this anti-progressive,
blaming the ills of the world on the progressive movement. Yeah,
totally. And you know what? It's really inherently dangerous because almost every authoritarian regime, once they come to power, one of the first people they go after are intellectuals. Mm-hmm. When Stalin took over Eastern Europe and this country's became part of the Soviet bloc and satellite states of the Soviet Union, one of the first people he killed off were intellectuals because he knew that they were going to be the core of resistance.
Yeah.
Same thing happened in Cambodia.
Pol Pot went after people with glasses.
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen here, but it echoes the same authoritarian
I agree.
Sort of sentiment that...
This goes back to Reagan and Bush talking about pointy-headed liberals and you know, the attacks on colleges and things. No, Gabe, you've nailed it. Absolutely. Thank you. Well said. Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Human beings have a couple of unique characteristics. The first is that we can be very tender and loving and concerned and caring toward people we perceive as being our group, us. We can also be extraordinarily violent against people that we consider to be them, if we think of them or this other as a threat. You know, probably the classic example of this is Adolf Hitler convincing Germans that, you know, Jews were a threat to them and good Germans going along with the Holocaust. Well, this othering is built into our DNA. This is, you know, ancient, ancient stuff. And the Republican Party, since the time of Nixon, when he started, you know, picking up the white racist vote after Democrats laid it down in the 60s, Republicans have been using this to try to other minorities in America as a political strategy. And this is really deadly stuff. There's a whole op-ed about it over at HartmanReport.com. Is othering human nature's deadliest instinct? Check it out.
There's a man with a match and a list in his hand, drawing lines in the dust saying, take your stand. Every question's a crime, every doubt's a sin. Truth gets buried alive when the shouting begins. Yeah, the past ain't dead, it's walking again. Through the fear and the crowd and the lies dressed as friends. Wrap it up in a flag, let the accusations rush. Even Joe McCarthy would have had to blush. Oh, hear that?
cold wind blow through the cracks where the old fears grow, and the loud drown out what's true, and just even Joe McCarthy would blush.
Two minutes past the hour. Welcome back. So, did Donald Trump reach for the nuclear codes? Donald Trump's story on Iran is changing by the hour. Seriously, I mean, literally, in less than 48 hours this weekend, he swung from claiming Iran had, quote, agreed to everything, to threatening that the whole country is getting blown up. Seriously. I mean, this guy doesn't... Anyway, he told ABC that Vance wouldn't fly to Pakistan. Then his U.N. ambassador and energy secretary said, oh, yeah, yeah, he's going to. The staff keep scrambling to clean up the messes from our senile, low IQ, psychologically damaged, mentally ill president. Trump claimed Iran promised never to close the Strait of Hormuz. Hey, they promised that, he said. You know, the next day, Iran closed the Strait of Hormuz. He told The Hill, Trump told The Hill, gas prices will drop the minute this war ends. Week later, he told Fox News, they're going to stay about the same. Iran's foreign minister flatly denied that they'd agreed to hand over enriched uranium. Vance proposed a 20-year nuclear moratorium on the talks. Trump rejected his own vice president's offers, saying, I don't like the 20 years. And now, retired CIA analyst Larry Johnson alleges on the Judging Freedom podcast that Trump reached for the nuclear codes on Saturday. Get this, that 4 days ago, Donald Trump wanted to use a nuclear weapon against Iran, and that General Dan Cain stood up and said no. Now, that story is unconfirmed. That came from, you know, basically a former CIA source who's got a podcast, and so it may be, you know, the guy looking for a headline, it may be fantasy, whatever. It's not confirmed. And that's why the mainstream press, by and large, is not going with it, although you will see links to it all over the place. The Mirror is probably the most well-known magazine that has published this. 2 minutes. But keep in mind, this is the guy who's got the button. I mean, it's deeply troubling. They had to keep him out of the Situation Room because they were concerned that he'd do something crazy. He was just freaking out when the pilot went down, you know? We have a problem. Also, does this administration's cruelty have any bottom? Meet Sergeant First Class Jose Serrano, 27 years in the Army, deployed to Afghanistan. On April 14th, his wife, Daisy, walked into an El Paso immigration office for her parole in place interview. It's the program designed to protect military spouses. ICE arrested her on the spot. Oh my God, you got brown skin? You're not from America. A federal judge granted her protection from deportation to El Salvador way back in 2019 under the Convention Against Torture. But Stephen Miller's ICE plans to ship her to Mexico instead, a country where she's never lived. Serrano can't visit her, our soldier, because active duty soldiers can't travel to Mexico. This is the policy. The administration's already spent $40 million shipping immigrants to places like the Congo, Uganda, and South Sudan. $133,000 a person that we are spending to put brown-skinned people on airplanes to countries that they've never... We're shipping people from Mexico and Guatemala and El Salvador to Congo, to the Congo, to Kinshasa, to a city that is racked with crime, to a state where... Where, you know, the average annual income is virtually nothing, where poverty is widespread, it's a death sentence. And why are we doing it? Because Stephen Miller decided that their skin is too brown. I mean, this isn't just cruelty as policy. This is racism as policy. This is brutality as policy. We saw it in Trump's first administration when he was separating children. We still have 1,000 missing children. They got trafficked into these pop-up Christian adoption services that turned out to be child trafficking programs, at least some of them. We don't know where any of these kids are now. These people are nuts.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Let me revise that. These people are evil. What say you? I'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. Trump lunges at the nuclear codes. His labor secretary drowns in sleaze. ICE snatches an army wife. Israeli soldiers terrorize Palestinian girls. And your nurse goes gig. Good morning. This is the Commonwealth Report. News for the public, not the powerful. You can sign up at commonwealthreport.news. Did Trump reach for the nuclear codes? Donald Trump's story on Iran changes by the hour. In less than 48 hours this weekend, he swung from claiming Iran, quote, agreed to everything, to threatening that the whole country is going to get blown up. He told ABC that Vance wouldn't fly to Pakistan. Then his UN ambassador and energy secretary said, yes, he would. Staff scrambled to clean up the mess. Trump claimed Iran promised never to close the Strait of Hormuz. Iran promptly announced they're closing it. He told The Hill that gas prices will drop the minute this war ends. A week later, he told Fox News they'd stay about the same. Iran's foreign ministry flatly denied they'd agreed to hand over enriched uranium. Vance proposed a 20-year nuclear moratorium at the talks. Trump rejected his own VP's offer, saying, I don't like the 20 years. And now retired CIA analyst Larry Johnson alleges on the Judging Freedom podcast that Trump reached for the nuclear codes on Saturday, and General Dan Kane stood up and said, no. That's unconfirmed, but deeply troubling. This is who's got the nuclear button. Are Trump's scandals drowning out democracy? Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer resigned yesterday, and what the greatest hits list she leaves behind is pretty grim. She allegedly had an affair with her own security detail. She kept bourbon, Kahlua, and champagne in her office. She took staff to a strip club on a government trip. She used taxpayer dollars for fake official trips to visit friends. Her husband got banned from Labor Department headquarters after two female employees accused him of sexually assaulting them. And she reportedly retaliated against those two women. Meanwhile, her elderly father was texting young female staffers, asking them to keep their meetings private. She's the third woman Trump has pushed out of his cabinet in 7 weeks. Kristi Noem was gone in March, Pam Bondi gone earlier this month. Meanwhile, cabinet men with worse track records keep their jobs. And that's just one scandal. Steve Witkoff ran signal chats from Russia. NVIDIA got cleared to sell chips to China for a 25% kickback. Trump tried to fire Fed Governor Lisa Cook over bogus mortgage fraud claims. Vance is meddling in prosecutions. Steve Bannon once said the way to beat the media is to flood the zone. Well, it's working. Democracy dies when nobody can keep track. Does this administration's cruelty have any bottom? Meet Sergeant First Class Jose Serrano. 27 years in the Army, deployed to Afghanistan. On April 14th, his wife, Daisy, walked into an El Paso immigration office for her parole and place interview, the program designed to protect military spouses. ICE arrested her on the spot. A federal judge granted her protection from deportation to El Salvador back in 2019 under the Convention Against Torture. So Stephen Miller's ICE plans to ship her to Mexico instead, a country she's never lived in. Serrano can't visit her because active-duty soldiers can't travel to Mexico. And this is the policy? The administration's already spent $40 million shipping migrants to places like Congo, Uganda, and South Sudan. Over $133,000 per person. This is what cruelty as policy looks like. Are Israeli soldiers using rape as a weapon in the West Bank? A new report from the West Bank Protection Consortium says yes. Researchers interviewed 83 Palestinian communities and documented 16 cases of conflict-related sexual violence over 3 years. And those are just the cases survivors were willing to report. Palestinian men, women, and children described forced nudity, invasive body cavity searches, Israeli soldiers exposing themselves to minors, and threats of rape. In Wadi El-Sheikh, saw settlers and soldiers stripped villagers, urinated on them, and attempted to assault one man with a broom handle. They photographed it and shared the pictures. Girls are quitting school. Parents are marrying off daughters as young as 15 just to protect them from the soldiers. More than two-thirds of families surveyed said rising sexual violence was the breaking point that made them leave their land. That's ethnic cleansing by humiliation. And we, the United States, are funding it. Will Silicon Valley turn your nurse into a gig worker? A report just out from the Roosevelt Institute sounds the alarm on what they're calling Uber for nursing. Companies like ShiftKey, ShiftMed, CareRev, and Clipboard Health have raised hundreds of millions from venture capital to turn bedside nursing into piecework. Nurses bid against each other for shifts by offering to work for less. One nurse's $23 an hour ends up at $13 an hour after the app's safety fee, insurance fees, payday fees, and shift fees. No supervisor, no accountability, no training at the facility. And now these companies are running the Uber playbook in state legislatures, lobbying to get nurses classified as independent contractors with no labor protections. Colorado even already passed it. Your loved one's nurse could be a stranger who just bid lowest on an app. That's not health care. That's a race to the bottom with your life. And that's the way it is today, Tuesday, April 21st. I'm Tom Hartman. Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here. Farmer in Norfolk, Virginia. Hey, Farmer, what's on your mind today?
Happy Election Day, Tom.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in Virginia tonight.
Can I give a quick shout-out to my people in the Commonwealth?
Please.
People of Virginia, if you have not voted on this redistricting amendment, please do so. Today is your last chance to help make history. It's way, way too close. We need every butt in the booth. And if you have voted, reach out to all your peer group, your friends and family. Make sure they voted. This is super, super important. If we learned anything from what happened in Hungary, it's that the power is with the people. And today we need to prove that in Virginia. So thank you, Tom.
Well said, Farmer. And be sure to vote yes, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Farmer. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Great public service announcement. John, and also in...
Hey, Tom. Well, I taught university chemistry for 25 years, and I found that repetition is sometimes an important tool in teaching. So I'm going to follow up on what Farmer just said. Virginians, go out and vote. The control of House of Representatives will, to a significant extent, the probability will be determined today. This is four seats. California in Proposition 50 had five seats that they pushed back against Texas, five seats. But we are sort of the only blue one left that's doing anything right now, and potentially four seats could flip. Louisiana, Missouri, Ohio, North Carolina, Florida are all having redistricted or are in the process to favor Republicans. We're sort of standing up to try to push back against that. So certainly if you're in Virginia, do your thing. If you're not in Virginia, call people. Everyone can call, no matter where you are, and tell your folks to get out there. Unless they're MAGA, then tell them to, you know, the elections next week.
I said don't do that. That could be against the law, but I get your point.
I realize it was a joke.
Yeah.
Okay, but just wanted to reiterate, because it's super important. I suspect right now, what are the odds? About 80% the Democrats will take the House.
I haven't seen a specific, I mean, the specific percentages, A, are all over the place, and B, change from day to day, but they're good.
I strongly suspect, based on what happens today, they'll either go maybe up a little bit because the yes being the victorious might be baked in, but I'm guessing it'll go down if no wins. Four seats is...
And the GOP is spending a fortune on the no vote in Virginia. I'm guessing that... I'm only hearing about it. I'm guessing that you're seeing this on television and on the radio and in print.
Flooded. Sure.
Flooded.
Both ways. I think actually, yes, has spent more money. Obama has been here. The governor, our new governor, Spanberger, has made speeches and things about it. So, yeah, Youngkin, the ex-governor, it's all over. George Allen, ex-governor, they're all out there talking about it. This is a big deal for us.
Yeah,
but it's really a big deal for everyone. That's my point in calling.
Well, good luck, John, and we'll be following the election returns tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. John, thanks for the call.
Great.
Good talking to you.
Thank you, Tom.
Yep,
thanks a lot.
Sure enough. Todd in KDOT, Wisconsin. Am I saying it right? Todd.
Chippewa Falls, but that's all right.
Oh, Chippewa Falls. Okay, I'll change that. What's up?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about that bill that you said that the Republican guy was trying to get through.
Yeah, Chip Roy.
Chip Roy. It's kind of interesting because if that passes, or if that would possibly pass, I kind of doubt it, but... that would also take care of the police department, since that is a social program.
That's right. Fire departments, socialism.
The fire department.
The Eisenhower freeway system.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything that's a socialist program would instantly have to dry up.
Well, no, it doesn't kill the programs. It just says that if you are not a citizen or if you are a naturalized citizen and you speak or publish or own any published materials in favor of those programs, then you get kicked out of the country.
So if you're a police officer, you're obviously in favor of the program.
Arguably. You'd have to speak out in favor of it, or you'd have to have a document of some kind suggesting that you're in favor of having a police department that's paid for with tax dollars taken from billionaires, in which case, yes, you're a socialist and off you go.
I just think it's self-defeating, and hopefully so. But thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Okay, thanks, Todd. Great point. Mark in Sauk City, Wisconsin. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Oh, I know both Kadot and Chippewa Falls got relatives up there. But it is just ridiculous that Chip Roy is promoting this nonsense and just, you know, segregating nationalized citizens and immigrants from this, that it's not applying to all Americans. Because I'd remind... Yeah. Chipster, that the state he came from, committed treason against the United States when they went, their separate ways during the Confederacy.
Right, as Texas. Also, Melania Trump is living in government housing right now, and she's an immigrant.
Let's face it. Thomas Paine, would that be a banned work because he did both agrarian justice and the Age of Reason?
Yeah.
Both one promoting socialism, the other, kind of going against the Bible.
Promoting atheism. Yeah.
And it didn't promote atheism, but in there he criticized Moses for his actions against the Midianites, and that kind of almost parallels what's going on in the West Bank, by the Israeli soldiers against, reportedly against the Palestinians. That and there they were, would slaughter anybody except the virgin girls, and they were supposed to be the slaves of the Israeli army, which is ironic considering biblically that. Wasn't the Midianites provided Moses with a sanctuary when he was driven out of Egypt the first time? It is just, maybe that's a stretch there, but the whole thing against free speech is supposed to mean something. Advocating for socialist positions that, in our Constitution itself, it says promote the general welfare.
Yep.
What is that other than promoting for a socialist state where the government is actually promoting the welfare of the people?
It's both in the preamble and it's also in Article 1, Section 8 in the enumerated powers of Congress.
And I'd point out, to Mr. Trump, who is busily committing piracy, that as Congress that is supposed to decide the how we take care of captures on the land and sea. It's not the president himself declaring this. It's supposed to go to Congress,
right,
making those decisions.
War.
and war. I mean, that it's not promote war, it's promote the common defense, that rather than, you know, Pete Hegseth and his Department of War, which I would say is in itself is a violation of his oath to the Constitution.
These guys are drunk on blood. You know, Mark, this is the they I think one of the most shocking and underappreciated stories of the last month was the story that came out about 2 weeks ago that every morning, instead of getting intelligence briefings, you know, most presidents would get intelligence briefings where they'd get a binder full of documents and they would sit down with the intelligence briefer from the CIA and he would tell them what's going on in this part of the world and that part. Here's what's happening in the Congo. Here's what's happening in the Middle East. Here's what's happening in, you know, fill in the blanks, right? Instead, what they're doing with Trump is they're bringing in a little TV set or a little laptop computer and they're showing him video reels of things being blown up. And he delights in it like a child. Oh, look at that. They just killed a few more people on a boat. Oh, look at that. They just killed a whole school full of little school children. He's delighting in watching death. Every single day, they have to find some new thing that they've blown up to show him, even if it didn't happen that day, because he's so into it. These guys, it's not just him. It's Hegseth, too, as far as I can tell, in my humble opinion. These guys are psychopaths and who delight in the death of other and the pain of other human beings. And I think Netanyahu falls into that. Netanyahu has now destroyed 40,000 homes in southern Lebanon. What the hell does that have to do with Hezbollah or anything else? I mean, literally, they're going in with bulldozers right now and knocking down apartment buildings and homes in southern Lebanon, and just like they did in Gaza. These people are psychopaths.
It is just sad, and this is for Netanyahu as well as Trump. It's partially to keep them out of jail.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Oh, that's why Trump ran for re-election, because he knew if he didn't, he was going to go to jail. And that's why Netanyahu talked Trump into this war, because he, you know, his trial is ongoing and he's looking at prison himself. And once he's out of office, he's vulnerable. And he's got an election coming up this summer. Mark, thank you. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, good talking to you. By the way, I mentioned Sherrod Brown as being the guy that J.D. Vance ran against. It was actually Tim Ryan. My apologies and thanks for the correction, whoever called. And thank you for that.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We like to keep things accurate on this program. Tim Ryan and Sherrod Brown have both been guests on this program many times. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Alan in Seattle. Hey, Alan, what's on your mind today? Oh, Alan, I'm sorry. Your phone is breaking up. I've got to reach out to Chase and ask him to reach out to our phone provider. I think this is happening on our end, but I'm going to have to put you on hold for just a second. Mateo, if you can hear me, I know you're on the phone with somebody on line 5. Alan's on line 7. If you could pick that up and see if you can work it out. Roger in Seattle. Hey, Roger, what's on your mind today?
I want to connect the horrifying mass murder of one family's children with the heresy that the Pope and the Republicans are debating about just war.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've mentioned in a few other calls that the Hebrew rabbis explained this Christian heresy. I'm going to talk about a Seattle international business for Native Americans, Alaska Natives, and Canadian indigenous artists. It has the brand name of Eighth Generation, and it's now owned by one of the local Washington State tribes. Several indigenous tribes believe that change takes 8 generations. Washington is the other Washington celebrating 250 years this coming July 4th. I point out 250 because the Wikipedia says a generation is 30 years or 240 years would be needed for slavery to sins to run its course. Native Americans and Canadian First Nations school abuse ended in the 1950s. Iran, Gaza, and the Lebanese atrocities are waiting to start their 240-year clock. Killings humans is not natural. It must be drilled in by schools named boot camp. PTSD is the name for veterans who killed or witnessed killing of women, children, and men. I can only point out Wounded Knee, My Lai Massacre, battle fatigue.
Yeah.
Are all nice conservative whitewashing of murder indigenous people.
I agree, Roger. Well said. Thank you. Alan, you want to try it again?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Now it's working. There's something weird going on. Anyhow, what's up, Alan?
Well, you're just hitting a lot of buttons. Of course, Virginia vote today is very important.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd also like to mention is I don't really want a 7 days in May thing going on with Trump and the nuclear codes. The last thing I want to do is have us be forced to, drop a nuke on one of our own cities to make up for a nuke that,
right.
Trump is going to drop on Iran.
Yep. So remind me of the premise of 7 days in May. Was that about a nuclear war? I remember seeing the. I know I saw the movie, but it was a long time ago. Was it about the Bay of Pigs? What was it?
It was a electronic failure in the Department of Defense that sent nuclear armed, B-52s into Russia, and even though President Henry Fonda attempted to, tell the Russians, no, you go after this plane, this is the one that's going to hit. The Russians didn't trust them.
Yeah, I get it. Alan, thank you. Thank you for the call. He's spot on. We do not want that here. We don't want... Nuclear war is not good for children and all living things, right, as the old poster used to say. 48 minutes past the hour. I'll be back with you in 60 seconds. We'll continue picking up your call. Stay with us. Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. So what do we call the really, really mind-bogglingly rich? At the founding of the Republic, they were referred to as speculators or moneyed interest or aristocrats. In the years leading up to the Civil War, we called them the cotton lords and the plantation aristocracy. In the late 19th century, they were the robber barons. In the 1930s, FDR called them the economic royalists. But since the Reagan Revolution, we've just called them billionaires. And now, some of them want to call themselves tech bros. Like, that's kind of a good thing, like tech is positive and bros. Like Mark Zuckerberg saying, we need more masculine energy in American business culture. So we need a new phrase. I would like to suggest the morbidly rich. Morbidly suggests unhealthy. And the vast riches that some of these people have is unhealthy to our democracy, particularly since five Republicans on the Supreme Court said that morbidly rich people can buy politicians. And it's unhealthy for them, too. So morbidly rich. There's an op-ed over at HartmanReport.com all about it. Check it out. Ten minutes before the hour, picking up your calls here. Bill in Clifton, New Jersey. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Oh, well, it's not that guy, Chips Ahoy. He's crazy. I mean, you've never seen him.
Yeah, Chip Roy is one of the more out there, but he's, I guess today you'd call him a mainstream Republican.
Right. And may I give you a Pete Hegseth fashion update?
Mm.
Now that, he's known for wearing the American flag snot rag in his breast pocket.
Which is a violation of the code of the flag code, yes.
Right, and then he wears flag socks, so he walks all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day he was also wearing a flag tie. So I guess he's completed his ensemble.
Yeah. This is like Stalinist Russia, where everybody wore sickles and stars mm-hmm. and hammers and stuff.
I know. Tom, wouldn't you rather that we grew up in the Renaissance instead of now? Or Enlightenment period or something like that?
Well, I think it was a fascinating time to be alive from what I've read, of the history books and in particular from Jefferson's diaries and things. But I wouldn't have been a fan of all the disease and, I kind of like my creature comforts. I love driving my electric car.
uh-huh.
Although I do like riding horseback. Why do you ask, Bill?
Oh, yeah. And about crazy Jared and the other real estate felon, why are they over there? Why, like other countries, we don't have a diplomatic corps and the people who are trained in diplomacy? And at least this, you know, Rubio should be over there. I know he's in Lebanon, but he should be speaking for us. He, yeah. At least he had some congressional, you know, training and things like that.
Yeah.
And now it's you know, it's like this. And the Iranians, they're all laughing at us because mm-hmm. we've got, you know, I'm sure everybody there is strictly trained and knows how to conduct a meeting.
Oh, they sent professionals. They sent professional diplomats and nuclear experts to those meetings. And what do they meet?
Right.
You know, two grifter real estate guys, one a real estate, high-end real estate billionaire, the other a slumlord, you know, Witkoff and, mm-hmm. and Jared, a slumlord who's on the take to the tune of $6 billion from the Saudis, who want there to be attacks on Iran. And mm-hmm. now J.D. Vance, who has never in his whole entire life had any experience with diplomacy at all.
Right. And I don't like the idea that all our ambassadors have always been donors. That's not a good diplomacy effort either.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, it's a mistake.
Right.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, good talking to you. Peter in Lawton, Oklahoma. Hey, Peter, what's on your mind today?
Sunday was the 31st anniversary of the Murrah building being blown up in Oklahoma City.
Oh, really?
And
Tim McVeigh?
And nothing was mentioned in MSNBC, CNN, Trump administration. No major... Democrats or Republicans were there. I'm just like some of my friends, we're highly upset because, you know, that was a terrorist attack by a Republican.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was arguably the beginning of the whole kind of Proud Boys, 3%er movement, you know?
Yes, yes. I mean, you can trace what's happening today to that event, that terror that took place on Wednesday, April 19th, 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the rest of the nation may have forgot about it. The politicians have, but we have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're there in Oklahoma. Were there memorials and things in your state?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's, like I said, it's well attended, but it really hurts that, you know, 168 Oklahomans, and we're talking the FBI, CIA, numerous children. They're talking about, well, children.
There was a daycare center in that building.
The bomb was placed right under the nursery where all the children were at. And but you know, this country is. You would think somebody would say, you know. At least acknowledge or just say something about or you know, I cannot figure out why people are so cold, like it, and especially the media, MSNBC and CNN.
Well, it reflects poorly on the right wing movements, you know.
Yes.
So maybe that's why they're not talking about it. I don't know, Peter. Maybe they just figure it's so far off in our history. But it really, Tim McVeigh was the original, you know, the original Proud Boy. He'd read Camp of the Saints. The Turner Diaries was his Bible. He gave away copies of it. There was a copy of it in his truck when he blew up the building. Okay, Peter, I got to move. But thanks. Move along. Thank you. Ed in Belfair, Washington. Hey, Ed, we got about a minute. You got a quick one?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Tom, on the West Coast. Chip Roy's manifesto, I didn't read it. I'm just taking from what you read off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he should have put at the very top of the list to deport is racism, fascism, and Nazism. And with that, he could start with himself, and he can take his two buddies, the President Miller and his little helper, Donald Trump, along with many others. They could help us out by deporting themselves. But thank you for all you do, Tom.
Sure. It is a really genuinely shocking piece of legislation, Ed. I mean, this is like McCarthyism on absolute freaking steroids. And, to say that they want to deport people for possessing a copy of Karl Marx's book, which, by the way, Abraham Lincoln read and corresponded with Karl Marx about.
That's
sad. It's, in fact, go ahead.
I'll be proud to be in the gulag with you, Tom.
There you go. Well, the day may come, Ed. Let's hope not. But, you know, I couldn't think of better company. Ed, thank you very much. We're hitting the top of the hour here. On the other side of the break, are Trump scandals drowning out our democracy, and are Israeli soldiers using rape now as a weapon of war? Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
X-Ray FM is supported by Slingshot Lounge. Located in Southeast Portland on the corner of 56th and Foster, Slingshot Lounge offers an expansive game room, scratch cocktails, and a craft kitchen with a full menu until 2 a.m. Happy hour available weekdays from 3 to 7, and brunch weekends from noon to 4. Slingshot Lounge, decentralizing Portland since 2007.
This is Bird Note. Where many poets write about birds as an exultant viewer, separate from the natural world, Tracy Brimhall writes about birds in nature as familiars, and part of our everyday. Here's Tracy reading one of her poems.
Fledgling. I scare away rabbits stripping the strawberries in the garden, ripened ovaries reddening their mouths. You take down the hanging basket and show it to our son. A nest, secret as a heart, throbbing between flowers. Look, but don't touch, you instruct our son, who has already begun to reach for the black globes of a new bird's eyes, wanting to touch the world, to know it. Disappointed, you say, common house finch, as if even banal miracles aren't still pink and blind and heaving with life. When the cat your ex-wife gave you died, I was grateful. I'd never seen a man grieve like that for an animal. I held you like a victory, embarrassed and relieved that this was how you loved, to the bone of you, to the meat. And we want the stricken pleasure of intimacy, so we risk it. We do. Every day we take down the basket and prove it to our son. Just look at its rawness, its tenderness.